Hello and welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. I'm Louise Midgley, your host for this episode, which is all about the positive power of houseplants. I'm joined by Dobbies senior houseplant buyer Claire Bishop, who is no doubt going to inspire us with her suggestions for beautiful indoor plants to lift our spirits and enhance our homes now all the Christmas decorations have been packed away. Hello Claire, thanks for joining us today.
Hi Louise, thanks for having me.
Now we have well and truly passed the shortest day of the year. It's good to start the new year with a fresh outlook and positive state of mind. I would love a few new indoor plants to freshen up my living space, so I'm looking forward to learning about the hottest houseplant trends for 2023. But whether you are an experienced indoor gardener or new to houseplants and would like to know where to begin, let's delve deeper into the wonderful world of indoor plants and find out from Claire which plants are trending in 2023.
Thanks, Louise. Well, we're seeing still a lot of foliage plants. Customers are gathering more plants. They have sort of had success with maybe testing some easy to care for plants and feel that they are able to try new and different types of plants. We are still seeing a huge trend in foliage, mainly due to their easy care aspect, and they don't need as high light level and care as a flowering plant. There's so many different colours, shapes and textures in foliage plants. Spathiphyllum is also known as peace lily. It's a lovely green plant, but it has a beautiful white sail flower, so it gives you both, you know, sort of best of both worlds. You have your green plants and you have your flower there also. Also, calatheas are always a really popular plant due to the fact that they come in all different colours, textures, leaf shapes as well, known as a peacock plant because they're very showy, and they're interesting because they do only grow for half of the day. They then fold their leaves up at night and store their reserves for the next day to grow again. So they're quite an interesting plant because you can see them moving during the day as well, which is really great, you know, for sort of young or people that are new to plants as well. It's quite an interesting thing that you can see these plants are alive.
I went to the Woodcote Green Garden Centre before Christmas to pick up my Christmas tree, and of course I had to wander around and have a look at everything because it's a massive garden centre, and they had a wonderful selection of houseplants, and I was honestly totally smitten with the calatheas. There was a beautiful one called Calathea Sylvia, that's sort of like a beautiful rose pink on the leaves and a darker green margin. And then there was another one, I think, called Calathea Insignis, which is completely different. It was like a lime green and a darker green patterned leaf. You know, you wouldn't think they were both calatheas, they're so different, but there was just a wonderful selection. And are they relatively easy to care for?
They are, yeah. The insignia is known as the rattlesnake calathea because you can see the textures on the leaves, and they're very narrow.
Very narrow, yeah.
Whereas the sylvia is a sort of more oval-shaped leaf, and they've both got beautiful different tones on the back of the leaves, so they're so interesting whether they're open or closed. So they are relatively easy to look after. When you find a happy spot for them, they thrive. What they do not like is to dry out. They like to have regular watering, which stops their leaves going that sort of crispy way. And a regular watering will keep a calathea quite happy in direct sunlight. And when they're actively growing, a little bit of feed, a liquid feed, works really well for calatheas.
And Claire, what's the current house plant of the month for Dobbies?
For January, the plant of the month is Spathiphyllum. So it's the peace lily, known, approved by NASA, as a natural air purifier, absorbs the toxins in through, and it's also just a really nice mood enhancing plant. I think we've seen that, yes, there are a lot talked around the air purifying benefits of plants. However, there's also the proven fact of caring and nurturing something is really good for your mental health as well. So it's a great plant because they're easy to look after. They are also a really nice statement plant at not too an expensive price. They're a good value for the size of plant you can get as well.
And with so many people working from home, I mean, that's just wonderful, isn't it? You can appreciate the air purifying qualities of a plant in your office space or wherever you're working, might be the kitchen, wherever you can grab a space, I suppose. And then you can nurture them. If you've got 5 minutes to spare, you can make sure that the leaves aren't too dusty or give them a little bit of a watering, which is the nurturing bit. I think we all appreciate doing that.
Absolutely. It's, I have a weekly routine with my plants, and it's a little bit like a spa routine with them. They get either into the sink or the shower, and I spray them down or dust them down. That also helps clean the leaves and obviously promotes light and photosynthesis in the plant, which will encourage healthy growth as well. So they do benefit from their spa days too.
A bit like our skin. Give it a good clean.
Exactly.
And Claire, depending on the space and layout of a room, there are all sorts of different ways to display houseplants. But you obviously have to consider whether the area has plenty of natural light or is in the shade when choosing where to put your plants. What sort of suggestions do you have for displaying houseplants?
I think the best thing to do is first and foremost is to start with the light levels. There's no point putting a plant who needs light into a dark corner. So assessing where you'd really like your plant to be. If you have a sunny windowsill, then a flowering plant is ideal for this, a cactus, succulent, something that can tolerate high light. If you have a darker corner, you want to look at your larger leafed foliage. Larger leaves can have more surface area to absorb light, so can deal with slightly darker, shady corners. Monstera is really good for this. Cheese plant, Sansevieria, the snake plants, Zamaculcus, the ZZ plant is fantastic as well. It tolerates very dark and also almost a little bit of neglect, as do the Sansevierias. So I think the best positioning in a home, is if you can find somewhere that has reasonable light but indirect sunlight, most plants will tolerate this quite happily.
And I'm glad you mentioned those plants that are good in shade, because if you think about it, so many people live in inner cities and lots of people live in flats, and they have very limited light coming in. They might have, you know, interior walls with no windows at all. So it's really important for those people.
And also you have the sort of winter months are quite difficult when you're new to houseplants, because it gets darker, the plants can go dormant. They also start to lose some leaves, and a lot of people find this quite, am I doing something wrong with my plant? No, you're not. They're just going dormant, naturally shedding some older leaves, and in the spring they will regenerate again as they start to grow. So do not fear in the winter months if you start to lose some leaves from your plants.
It's just a natural process, so be prepared for it. And I see that new research commissioned by Dobby's Garden Centres has revealed that indoor plants can cheer us up in the winter months, with 40% of Brits saying that colourful houseplants make them feel happier. I've still got my beautiful red poinsettia left over from Christmas, which is thriving, but I'd love to inject a little bit more colour into my living room. What plants that flower or maybe have colourful leaves would you recommend to raise our spirits at this time of the year?
So you really can't go wrong with a beautiful Phalaenopsis orchid. They are very long-lasting flowering. They're beautiful to look at. They are known for mostly being in white, but they come in an array of colours again. The yellow oranges are beautiful, a nice bright feeling of sunshine in the dark months, and also beautiful pinks and cerises also. There is a foliage plant that will be plant of the month for February. It's Aglaonemia. It's known as the Chinese evergreen. It comes in the most stunning, bright, vibrant leaf colours, from yellow through to bright pink, really beautiful colours. And it certainly is an easy care and really striking to look at. So it's a sort of new up-and-coming plant, not seen as much, which is why we've made it Plant of the Month for February. It's very exciting.
Well, one to look out for, definitely. I've got Phalaenopsis. I mean, I just keep them from year to year and they reflower. Actually, they really thrive on neglect. I do actually give them a little bit of rainwater rather than tap water, because I think that's probably quite important, but not essential all the time, is it?
No, not at all. What I would suggest the best way to for water is to use tap water, if that's all you have access to. But fill a jug the evening before you're going to water your plants, and it just lets the, you know, sort of water settle, and then all the toxins or anything harsh kept within the water that would maybe irritate your plant has settled. So that's what I would suggest.
That's a good tip, exactly. And more and more people are looking for good value when they buy their plants. And research shows that one in three people prefer to receive houseplants rather than cut flowers, which is really very understandable because the houseplant's going to last for a whole lot longer than fresh cut flowers. Not knocking fresh cut flowers because they're beautiful as well, but a houseplant really is good for good value for money. What would you suggest, Claire? Our best value for money plants at the moment?
So the really fantastic flowering plant, if you want a bit of colour and show, that can flower for months, they are anthuriums, so they bring a bit of tropical colour also to your home. They come again, are really well known in red, however they are available in white, salmon pink, a beautiful lilac, which is quite a new variety which we range. So it's really got a colour for everyone, really lovely glossy shiny green leaves with this beautiful flower, and they can continuously flower with the right care and light levels 365 days a year. They are absolutely everlasting flowering plants, so
really
very good,
value,
but also beautiful to look at.
And I also saw an anthurium clarinervium, which was a dark green heart-shaped leafed, beautiful patterned on that leaf. That was absolutely sensational and completely different to the normal anthurium. Is that relatively new? So I'd never seen it before.
So they've been, I would say, available, however, very, very limited. So very expensive. However, in the past 2 years, more anthurium growers are growing them, not just for the standard anthurium flowering plant. There's more anthuriums that are grown now just for the foliage, and that is one of them. Absolutely my favourite anthurium. It's absolutely stunning. And it's got a huge, like you said, heart-shaped leaf, which is really stunning. Again, relatively easy to look after. So, and it's nice to see that when something becomes very sought after, more growers invest in it, and then it brings the price down for customers. So it makes that luxury affordable.
Yeah, I literally walked past and did one of those double looks, looked back and thought, hey, what's that? That's new. So I hadn't seen it before. And I mean, you know, talking about growers bringing the prices down, we all know money is tight these days. So are there any plants that are easy to take cuttings from or split into sections to get new plants from? So you could either give them as gifts, or you've got more to put around your, spread around your house.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of plants that are really quite easy to sort of propagate. One of the easiest is a spider plant, a chlorophytum. So they are known for having their little offshoots of baby spiders. Yep, and you can leave them attached to the plant and propagate, or you can snip them off and they will root. Another easy plant is Monstera. It's just making sure that you cut the stem at the right point, so you have a what's called a node, which is a little knobbly bit with a little bit of root. That will then take to re-rooting. So if your plant gets too big, it's good to cut down, propagate and gift. It's a really nice, or just spread more of those plants around your home.
And Claire, when you take those little spiderlings off the spider plant, do you stick them straight into compost, gritty compost, or do you put them into water and let the roots come down? What's the best method?
So everyone has their sort of favourite method. Personally, I use hydro, I use water. I think you can see the root growth. I think it's interesting for children as well to see how a plant's growing. And we have them all along the windowsill, which then gives lots of light and really sort of enforces that growth to spurt on. There, you can also use compost, just a general compost with a good bit of grit or perlite aeration in there, just so it doesn't get too wet. And there also is moss. A lot of people will grow young plants or roots in sphagnum moss because it retains moisture really well, and it is a really good substrate for propagating.
Sure. And interior designers use the term bathscaping, which I just love, when they transform bathrooms into havens of relaxation. And of course, plants are a big part of this because they are known to reduce stress and absorb toxins. But the temperature in a bathroom can fluctuate from cold to hot quite quickly. So which plants are going to flourish in these conditions?
So ferns are very good in bathrooms due to the sort of high humidity and water that is in the air when shower or bath. And they can also surprisingly tolerate fluctuations in temperatures. They come in all different sizes, different shapes and colours also. So it's quite interesting as well. It's not just a standard fern that you could have in. Our most popular fern, the Nephrolepis, the Boston fern. We do them in a small pot up to a very large pot. So you can fit your space, you can fit your budget, and you can still have the plant, you know, that you want to create that look. Lots of little plants on the windowsill is always really nice as well, because most bathrooms will have a bit of natural light. If not, then you can choose Sansevieria, again, all different sizes. And those look really nice on a windowsill as well. Super easy. You can just ignore them because the process of having a shower is enough to water these plants as well.
Yes. Or bath shelfie. That's exactly. Another lovely term I like. There's two terms there that I like.
Absolutely. It's good to mix your textures in your bathroom. So not all ferns, or you could use Sansevieria and ferns. So it's a more robust plant with a softer fern frond. So mixing it up gives you that lovely different texture and bathscape that we're looking for in the interior worlds now.
And the ferns come in different colours, like sort of very pale limeish green, and then they have frilly leaves and more flat leaves. They're all very different. You wouldn't necessarily think they were all the same, you know, family of plants. So you can get a nice mix going, can't you?
Absolutely. There's the Phlebotium wave, which is a blue wave, which is basically a grey-blue fern, and that next to the Nephrolepis, which is very limey green, makes a lovely contrast.
And Claire, while I'm very aware that we might know what we're talking about when it comes to houseplants, there are plenty of people who are just starting their houseplant journey. So what sort of essential items should they be looking to get in a starter pack?
When you get a plant, it's going to be actively growing, no matter what time of the year that you get it, because of it's just into the shop, came out of the nursery, so it's actively growing. So you're going to want to feed that plant, especially if it's moved positioning, so it's been transported, it's been in a garden centre, and then it's come to your home. So to give it a little bit of a boost, you want to give it some feeds. Any liquid feeds will work. You can buy drip feeders, so, and they just continuously put a little drip in, so you don't really have to worry about it. Or you can have spray feeds, which is quite good because it absorbs in through the leaves as well, not just into the roots. It just means that the plant gets the nutrients it's going to need. Also good to have a little watering can or something with a narrow spout, so that you are getting the water into the right place. If you use a big cup, sometimes you're going to quickly drown the plant without realising. It just regulates the amount of water you're putting into the plant. Some people like to mist plants. I don't think it's always a necessity, but if you do want a high humidity house, or you have something in your bathroom, it's maybe a good idea to have a mister also.
And I always feed my houseplants sort of from late spring throughout the whole summer. Is that the right time to feed and not feed at all in the winter, or would you advise feeding a little bit in the winter?
Traditionally, the feeding season is absolutely March to September.
Yes.
And that is when plants actively grow. However, we've got a lot of artificial environments in our homes now. We have heating on, we have sure. LED lighting. So if your plant is actively growing, I would feed it. It just means that it doesn't know that it's March or September. So to give it a little bit of feed, keeps its nutrients right, and trimming off any damaged or brown leaves also helps more of the nutrients go to the healthy part of the
yes.
plant. So it's always worth doing that.
Yes,
also.
So just keep a little weekly look on what's going on with the plant. And I see that Dobby's also discovered that low maintenance plants such as cactus and succulents are the UK's favourites, which I think that's quite clear. I imagine it must be almost impossible to choose your favourite houseplant, Claire. But if you had to, do you have one that you can't live without?
That is very tricky because I can go on I can change weekly.
And it's the same as garden plants. I mean, garden plants, it would change from season to season, wouldn't it? You know, what would be your favourite in January would definitely not be your favourite in August, I would imagine. But anyway, absolutely. Have a go.
I think if I look at my collection, yes. The plants I have the most of are Calatheas.
Yes, me too.
And it absolutely is because of the colours, the textures. You can almost get a plant to match your decor in any room, yes, because of the different colours. I think my new favourite is about to be the Aglaonomia because some of the varieties coming through on those are really, really stunning. So definitely something to look out for in February.
A new one to look out for. Fantastic. Well, Claire, thank you so much for all your helpful information and practical ideas.
It was lovely to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I do hope we've inspired you to be positive this January and brighten your home and your mood with soothing houseplants. Be sure to visit Dobby's website and their social channels, where you will find heaps of handy tips for keeping your houseplants healthy during 2023. And please stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming soon.